This recording, New York 36, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. So, even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Okay, so I originally grew up in an area of the Bronx that was on declining quickly, but there was still people were moving out, so it became dangerous to live there, I guess my parents felt. And that was in what was called Highbridge, or what is still called Highbridge, I think. And I always went to Catholic school. And then when I was in the beginning of the third grade, my grandparents also lived right next door to us. So we moved to what seemed like paradise at the time. It was in the Northwest Bronx, near 238th Street, near Van Cortlandt Park. And that's where I met my now lifetime friends. We're still friends after all these years. I met them when we were all 7, 8, 9 years old. So, and it's great that we still see one another and hang out. And they're like my family. They know me better than anybody, probably. They know all that I grew up with, and, you know, same with me with them. And there were some funny stories, but shocking too. One time, we used to play in my friend Dee Dee's yard, and we used to make mud pies and play bakery. And there was she had a private home, but there was a building next to her property, her home, the property her home was on. And we decided this one day that we're going to make mud balls and throw them at the side of the building. So my one friend, Erica, turned around and threw the mud ball right in my eye. So Dee Dee's mom was known around town for her red station wagon. She used to take us everywhere in the red station wagon. We still talk about it to this day. So she rushed my mother and I to Jewish Memorial Hospital in Manhattan. Like, it was right over the Spuyten Duyvil Bridge in northern New York. Yeah, so in the emergency room, they cleaned out my eye, but when we got back, we couldn't find Erica for hours. She was so afraid because she'd done that she went and hid on the roof, and she still has guilt about it. So Just stupid things kids do. And that's it. I don't know if that's a fun story, but it's what we did. We hung out and played a lot in the street. Went home when the lights came on. Jump rope every day in the summer. A big gang of us down the bottom of the hill. And the older kids used to organize us to play jump rope with them. And bicycles, roller skates. No video games.